Thank you, Susan and Catherine. If you have your Bible, will you please turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke? Now, the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. What a great book this is. What a great study we're having. Luke, the fifth chapter. We'll begin in the 12th verse now. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand, and he touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and show himself to the priest, and offer for a cleansing according to Moses' all that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would just penetrate our hearts, that you would teach us of Jesus, that you would meet the needs that each person has in this room today. Thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is on the move. He's going from village to village, city to city. He's going from gathering to gathering. There is no doubt he is on mission, and he is carrying out exactly what he is to do. Dr. Luke begins the gospel with the miracles surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. When we consider all that had to take place at particular moments so that Jesus could fulfill all the prophecies related to his coming, he and he alone could be the Messiah, the Son of God, the one true God who became man. From the proclamation of his coming to the decree of Caesar, to the star over Bethlehem, to his birth in the city of David, to his presentation at the temple, Jesus revealed that he is the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus was also revealed as the Messiah through the miracle of his forerunner. There was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was born in a miracle birth. Then at his baptism, at Jesus' baptism, you'll remember that the sky opened and the Father God spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit of God descended on him as a dove, proclaiming, this is the Christ. It amazes me that people doubt. It amazes me that people don't understand that Jesus is it. There is nobody else coming. He is it. He is the one. He is the focal point of all history. He is the one that can forgive your sins. He is the one that can save your soul. There is nobody else. You cannot do it for yourself. You will never be good enough to erase even one sin. How could anyone doubt Jesus? But just in case, there were other proofs given to tell us who Jesus was when he walked the earth. From time to time, Jesus would demonstrate his godly power. From time to time, Jesus would touch individuals or speak to individuals that had various diseases and they would be healed. Our world has been terrorized by the onslaught of terrible diseases. Millions of people each year lose their lives by seemingly unstoppable illnesses. Ebola is running rampant in West Africa. No one wants Ebola. The thought that it came to America this past year was indeed troubling. The fact that we were actually bringing people in with that disease. It starts with a fever, and then there's a headache and muscle pain, chills, something like the flu. It gets worse. The disease attacks internally. There's abdominal distress and pain. There is bleeding. And then there is organ failure, one by one, and there is a system collapse. As of August 2015, 28 1,441 cases of Ebola were cited. 11,000 people died this past year by Ebola. But that's not the only disease out there. What's a disease that's closer? AIDS is closer. AIDS is relatively new. Now, I know you think, well, AIDS has been around a long time, but actually the first case of AIDS by the CDC was reported in 1982. It's relatively new. It starts again a lot like the flu. You think if you think you got the flu, could be the flu, could be Ebola, could be AIDS. See a doctor. The immune system shuts down. The patient loses weight, becomes weak. Sores appear all over the body. The memory begins to go. If that were the only sign, many of us would be in trouble. Then, at that state, almost any infection at all becomes life-threatening. Globally, 75 million people are infected. 36 million people have already died. 1.6 million died last year because of AIDS. The disease was that you don't have to worry about this unless you are part of the gay community. Let me tell you, that is no longer the case. AIDS has reached across every community. The HIV virus that becomes AIDS is treatable, but it is certainly not curable. And while that is a threat to all, there is another one. Maybe you've heard of this. It's coming north as we speak. The Zika virus. The Zika virus now is horrifying people in Latin America, especially people that are pregnant, because it almost always causes a deformity in the child. In some cases, a shrinking of the head and the brain cavity. Zika is a deadly thing, and it's caused by a mosquito. Now, you hear sometimes mosquitoes buzzing around. Did you know that the mosquitoes that make the buzzing sound do not bite? It's the mosquitoes that you don't hear that bite. What do you hear now? Of course, most of us have our eyes on other diseases such as cancer that claims 7 million lives a year. 4.6 million of those cases are said to be out of time, that is, before a person's normal lifespan would have finished. 800,000 people die of heart disease every year. Now, I don't know if you have heart disease or not. Most people find out they have heart disease by sudden death. It comes so quickly. One in every three deaths in the United States is because of heart disease. Now, you put all those diseases together and the various others that are out there, you got to understand at some point you could be infected by something. And it's become so bad that hospitals don't want to keep you in the hospital, because if you stay in the hospital, that's where the germs are. What would it mean if you had such an ailment? Pick your flavor, and one could come and by their very word cure you completely. One could come and put their hand on you and you would be instantly, immediately, totally well. No chemotherapy, no angioplasties, no shots. Just at the very word, the disease would be gone. This was one of the signs, identifying marks, that the Messiah would have. He would be able to cure diverse diseases. There came a time in the life of John the Baptist that he became distressed and he actually doubted who Jesus was. And we'll study this a little bit later. But on this occasion, he wondered, and so he sent to Jesus to ask if Jesus was the one or if they should look for someone else. And the reply came from Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which you hear of me and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus said the curing of diseases is an absolute sign that he is the Messiah. And so the miracle we read about in the passage today is proof, evidence, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one. You don't have to go anywhere else, but you do need to receive him. In this passage, we see a sick man in verse 12. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.'" As we have feared diseases in our day, and none of us want any of them, Jesus walked the earth in a day that was terrified by leprosy. This disease is still around today. We have two leper colonies still active in the United States. One is in Hawaii, Kalupapa. And if that's not right, don't correct me. It still has residents in place. Although you don't have to go that far to find a leper colony, there is one in Louisiana, in Carville. About 6,000 people still get leprosy every year in the United States. It is still an active disease, but today it is treatable. Sometimes it's also called Hansen's disease or Lyon disease. But in the day of Jesus, it was a death sentence. It carried the full weight of the C word, that cancer kind of word. Only worse. The leper was required to stay away from everybody else. They had to announce their coming with the shout, "Unclean, unclean." What would that do for your self-image? Can you imagine what it would be like? This is not the only place the lepers in the Bible, or lepers are in the Bible. In fact, there are at least 40 mentions of lepers in the Bible. The main reason for that is leprosy is a graphic illustration of what sin does in a life and how sin destroys and how sin makes us unclean. The leper was repulsive in their appearance. Sin is repulsive to God. It could begin as fatigue. Just seem to be tired all the time. Are you fatigued? You would notice aching in your joints. You would ache when you got up, and you would ache when you sat down, and you would ache when you laid down. You would be sore when you moved. And then you would notice there would be small white spots, just little white spots you would see on your skin. It didn't seem to be much. They didn't hurt. They're just little white spots. And then you would see there were more white spots, and those white spots would harden into nodules, and then they would fill with pus, and then they would ooze. In fact, it would become so bad that they would cover your body, and when you would walk, you would leave little wet patches. It was a vile disease. As they oozed, they would give off a foul odor. You would lose your hair. Your eyebrows would fall out. The disease actually would attack the nervous system. The nerves would cause the hands to draw up into a claw. They would cause the face to distort. You may have heard that people's noses would fall off. That's not actually what would happen. The nose would shrivel up back into the head. The ears would knot into big knots, kind of like a cauliflower ear, only harder and more together. You might wonder, how in the world could somebody stand the pain? Well, remember I said it attacked the nerves. It removed sensation. The person couldn't feel, no sense of touch. They could step on a nail or burn themselves very badly and never even know that it happened. Basically, what was happening in leprosy is the person was decaying while they were still alive. The average life expectancy, 8 to 9 years. Now, the leper had laws. You already know that he had to announce himself, that he had to do. The leper was not to get within 6 feet of anybody. He had to stay away. The leper could not sit on a rock, because if they sat on a rock, they would leave part of the disease behind. The leper could not drink from a stream. They would have to use some long scooping mechanism to get water out of a stream. The leper was in such a state that no one would touch them. So why do we talk about such a disease? Because you need to know the reality of what sin is like. Some of you have been horribly wounded by the sin of someone else, and you can connect the dots. You can see what sin is like. It's easier to see what sin is like in others. It's a little bit harder to see what our own sin does. The devil always wants to paint sin as something, some great, joyful thing, something you can't live without. And so the devil just pulls you, and the devil makes you do it, and you can't live without it, and you just gotta. And then once it's done, you regret that it is done, and what you thought you couldn't live without, now you wonder if you can live with. That's what sin does. Sin grabs you and holds you and seeks to destroy you. Once you cross the line, you can never undo it. Let me tell you, especially young people, there are lines you know you don't need to cross. You have been told you don't need to cross them. Don't cross them. You cannot go back. Like leprosy, it starts off simple, starts off unconcerning, just like a little white spot. Think of King David. You remember King David? King David just in his palace. King David's supposed to go to battle. That's what God would have him do. And so King David decides he's going to sleep in. He's not going to fulfill his duties. He's going to stay back. He's going to let everybody else go to war. King David does a little thing, just takes a day off from what God wants him to do. Doesn't seem like much. It's a little white spot. And because King David is now in the wrong place, he sees the wrong thing. And the white spots begin to spread. And he now has lust after Bathsheba. And the white spots become nodules. And then they begin to break open. He commits adultery. He tries to cover it up. And now he is shriveling up in places, and the disease is carrying itself out. He commits murder to cover his own sin. Oh, the leprosy becomes full. He lives despondent, numb to what he has done. In fact, he is so numb to what he has done, somebody has to tell him. And so, like the disease, sin has had its impact on David, and he became unfeeling, and he caused even greater damage. Ever wonder how good people could do such rotten things? You know, we wonder about other people. You ever wonder why you or how you got into some things that you never thought you would get into? You see, leprosy would attack the optic nerve often, causing blindness. So not only could the person not feel, the person could not see. Sin causes spiritual nerve damage and spiritual blindness so that you can't see the damage you're causing. You can't sense how evil what you're involved in is. For you just think it's okay. When in fact, it is deadly and it's affecting you and it's affecting all that are around you. The old song is right. Sin will take you further than you want to go, slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will keep you farther than you want to, longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. You may be sinking in your sin. Watch the message of the leper. This poor leper heard of Jesus. This poor leper saw in Jesus a possibility. This poor leper understood that Jesus could forgive and Jesus could restore. This poor leper, a sick man, turns to Jesus, and we see a saved man. In verse 13, the saved man, and he puts forth his hand and he touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. The Bible says the man had been full of leprosy. But there's evidence that this man was full of something else. He is full of faith. When he approached Jesus, he didn't question, "Jesus, can you heal me? Jesus, can you do this? Jesus, do you have the power?" No, he believed Jesus had the power. He believed Jesus was who he claimed to be. He believed Jesus could clear it, could heal him. He doesn't ask Jesus, "Can you?" He asked Jesus, "Are you willing?" He had heard of the miracle working power of Jesus. He had faith that Jesus was able to make him well, but he didn't know if Jesus was loving enough to make him well. He didn't know if he was too vile to be made well. You may be here today and you have done something in your life that you know is a vile thing, and you may wonder if you could come to Jesus or not. You may question whether or not he could save you, whether or not he could forgive you because of what you have done, because you are too vile. Jesus proved he was willing. He reaches out and he touches the leper. You didn't do that. I mean, after all, if you think that their parts of their body are falling off, you don't want to touch them and come away with a hand. I mean, if they are oozing, you don't want to touch them and get that on you. But Jesus reaches out and touches him. Listen, this is a man that was full of leprosy. He probably, we don't know where he was in the time period, but he was definitely in the last portions of the disease. And so in that place, the disease is in full power, in still full effect. He had not been touched since the disease made itself apparent. His own family would not come near him. His own family would not touch him. But Jesus is willing. Jesus reaches out and he touches him in his vileness. He touches him in his sinfulness. He touches him though he is unworthy. He touches him and makes him well. Listen. If you are willing to call out to Jesus, if you are willing to believe that Jesus can forgive and save you, then that is exactly what Jesus will do. He is willing. How do you know he's willing? Just think of the cross. He was willing when he went to the cross. This man was immediately cleansed, healed, saved. When you reach out to faith in Jesus, you're not going to have to wait. You ever go to a doctor that makes you wait? We have certain places, certain doctors you go to, you just kind of have to schedule out half a day, if not the whole day, waiting in the room. And they don't have good magazines anymore, if they ever did. And you just got to wait, wait. And then when you finally see them, 5 minutes, you see them. They go away and you got to go do something else in order to try to start getting better. No, this man reached out to Jesus in faith. Immediately Jesus said, "I will," and he was well. Instantaneously, he was completely well. Listen, you want to be forgiven of your sin? You want to know that you are forgiven? You come to Jesus, he forgives. It is like that. It is instantaneous. How do I know it is like that? Because it's already happened. He already went to the cross for what you did. He already paid the price. It is all there waiting to fall upon you. When you say yes, then all that grace, all that forgiveness falls upon you instantly. Let me tell you something. A lot of you people are Christians, and you've messed up. And you wonder if you can be forgiven. The same power that forgave you when you got saved is there to forgive you now. So this man is forgiven. This man is immediately saved. And the saved man becomes the serving man. In verse 14, "And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and show yourself to the priest and offer for a cleansing according to Moses' commandment." There was actually a specific law of the leper. And the law of the leper told him exactly what he needed to do when he was cleansed of leprosy. And God knew this day was coming. God long before knew that there would be a time when Jesus would meet this leper. And so he had written into the law of the leper. In Leviticus 14, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp." If you read the law of the leper, you will notice that the leper does not come to the priest. The leper goes near the priest, believing that he's going to receive the ceremony, but the priest actually has to come out to him. He can't go to the priest. The priest has to come to him. Listen, we couldn't go to Jesus. We couldn't go to God. He had to come to us. He came caring for us. The priest would then take two birds. He would kill one, take the blood of that bird, sprinkle it over the other, and then he would set that bird free. And as the bird flew away, it would be taking the price paid. It was a picture that Jesus would take our sins. And he would take them to the cross, and then he would take them away. Jesus would shed his blood for us, forgive us, and take our sins away. This man was full of leprosy. You may be full of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you just as this man was cleansed by Jesus. Now, the leper did just what Jesus commanded. Hey, if you're saved, shouldn't you be doing what Jesus commanded you to do? You should be worshiping. You should be forgiving. You should be loving. You should be lifting up others. You should be, you should be serving the Lord through your week. You should be telling other people about Jesus. This leper has been cleansed, healed. And now he's waiting for the cleansing ceremony. Can you imagine this priest? The priest is doing his daily things, and all of a sudden somebody comes to him and says, "Hey, there's a leper out by the gates that wants the cleansing ceremony for the lepers." And the priest says, "What?
He said, you know, the cleansing ceremony for the lepers, there's a priest outside the gate that wants that. Can you imagine the look on his face? That had never happened before. No one had ever asked for the cleansing ceremony for a healed leper because no leper had ever been healed. He had to go back to the books and look it up to see what he was supposed to do. Jesus was sending the message to the priest that the Messiah had come, that there was cleansing power that had come, that there was forgiving power that had come. And the leper, in obedience, follows the word of Jesus and sends the message inside the temple. Jesus made the difference. The obedience of the leper spread the news. And as a result, many, many more came to Jesus. I don't know what your spiritual state is today. If you are here and you are serving Jesus and your sins are forgiven and you're following Him, praise God for you. I thank you so much for that. But maybe you're here today and the truth is, you've never come to Jesus, and the truth is you've never asked Jesus to forgive you. You've never asked Jesus to save you. And today, Jesus gives you an opportunity to be cleansed. All you have to do is want Jesus. He's willing to save you. Are you willing to be saved? In just a moment, you'll have the opportunity to come forward and just say, I want Jesus. Believer, maybe you're here and you've messed up and you've gotten away from the Lord. Let me tell you that God loves you just as much as He always has loved you. And God is willing to forgive you. And God is willing to set things right for you. And God is willing to bless your life. But you need to bow before Him and ask for that forgiveness. You don't have to ask me. You need to ask Him. And so maybe today you just need to come to the altar and square things away with Jesus. Maybe you need a church home and God has said, this is the place. Well, come and be part of us. God calls you to a decision. Jesus is willing to touch you at your point of need. Let Him heal you today. Let Him save you today. Let Him forgive you today. Let Him give you joy today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for our time together, for Your word to us. Father, we thank You that You're willing to forgive. You're willing to save, Father. You're willing to restore. And now, Father, we pray that You would do exactly that. Father, for those here that do not know You, that they would be willing to come forward and say, I want Jesus, that they might be saved. Father, for those that know You but have gotten away, that they might be willing to come and ask for Your forgiveness and cleansing, and Father, that they would just come to the altar. Father, for others that have needs, that Father, that are not covered in that particular thing, but Father, just maybe needs for a fresh touch from You. Maybe just a need, Father, to know that You're caring and You're going to guide them through whatever they're facing. Father, I pray that You would meet all individuals at their point of need. And Father, that You would bring them through. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.